Hello and welcome to Splash of Cinema. We're going to do it a little differently today. This is going to be our very first single TV show episode reaction podcast. So we're going to keep it pretty short. But today we're talking about Succession Season 4, Episode 1, The Munsters. It dropped last night. Obviously, it's a show of epic proportions, but we think the episode, I'll find out Pete's reaction in a second. But I think we're going to say the episode was very solid across the board. At least that's what I think. But yeah, we haven't talked about the episode at all, so this is kind of cool. We're literally getting our first takes while we record. So Pete, go for it. Thoughts?
Yeah, this is sort of what I expected from the first episode of the fourth season. The last episode of the third season, All the Bells Say, I think that's what it's called, or All the Bells Toll or something. Anyways, regardless, there was a lot in disarray after that episode. In terms of family dynamics. And I think this put us at a good point to sort of ease in back into the world that is Succession and all its mayhem and sort of see how the characters are doing, how they're faring. A lot of consortium work. Is this going to be a spoiler series, John? Because I'm fine if it is.
Yeah, of course. I don't think if anyone's watching Succession Season 4, Episode 1, or listening to us react about it, then at this point they've seen the show, right? Yeah, let's go for it.
Yeah. So it's just what I thought it would be in terms of Kendall, Shiv, and Roman teaming up to take down the patriarch. And, you know, I can only see it growing from there. At the end of the episode, there was a huge reveal. Good for the 100, as they quote themselves, Shiv, Roman, and what's his name? Kendall. So that was exciting to see with Pierce's. Good to see them back. And yeah, I just think this whole season's just going to be them slowly accumulating these people to go to battle with Logan, and it's going to be fists a-blazing and all blood will break out. So yeah.
Yeah, I think the 100 was supposed to be their new company. And I don't know, from the start, it seemed like that wasn't going to be a suitable venture for the three of them to do, especially to like clap back at Daddy. So the Pierce Global Media coming up for them on the table is a pretty perfect way for them to snap back at Logan. And I thought it did successfully kick off what should be an exciting battle back and forth. I just want to take us back for a moment and we'll talk setting. Logan's birthday, is it too cheap to go with a big like birthday celebration to start off the season, or is that where Succession thrives?
No, I think that's very Logan-esque, if that makes sense. We saw it in, I believe it was season 2 or 3 with Kendall's birthday, the episode Too Much Birthday. So you sort of see both sides of the coin there where, you know, Kendall wants this extravagance, this, you know, Kendall wants to be the it guy. He wants to be the next, you know, Silicon Valley Mark Zuckerberg in a way, if that's an apt analogy. And Logan is much more stripped back. So I really wasn't that surprised to see that. The whole thing with cousin Greg, though, just like made me laugh the entire episode. That was a good way to sort of alleviate the seriousness of the episode and the moves that each of these characters were making throughout. So I really enjoyed that aspect of it. I think Logan's party, the Greg aspect.
Yeah, one of the disgusting brothers, if you will, Greg.
The disgusting brothers.
He really he takes his comic relief role kind of to a new level. He's definitely established himself as like the main comic relief in what I think is a pretty funny show. But I was talking with Will and Coop about this. They were kind of arguing with me a little bit, though. Do you think Greg was underserved in this episode by just being marginalized to like the comic relief role? Because he didn't really get anything serious in besides when he like, yeah, roasted Logan.
Yeah, the thing with the first episode of a season is you want to establish the characters as the audience knows them. And I think that's what Jesse Armstrong did with this. He made Greg that sort of scapegoat in that arena of Logan's party. And I think that's where he has been for the past three seasons. I think it's only going to be these future episodes where we see Greg gain that autonomy and make that decision making. And you even saw it in the last part of the episode. He was the only one to really stand up to Logan and insult him when Logan asks, hey, insult me. And it sort of got to Logan, you know? And I think that's only going to pay dividends for Greg in the main scheme of things, because Logan's not going to lose. I'm sorry, Logan is not going to lose. If there's one thing about Logan Roy, it's that he always wins. He's never fucked, as Tom Zwanegans said in last season. So I just see Greg propelling even more, albeit this episode he was sort of the laughing stock of the whole family. So I thought it was funny.
Who wants to smell Greg's finger?
That was a great line. Some great, yeah. Great one-liners in this one. Really good.
Absolutely. One. And like when it got sad though, when Logan was in the cafe, like I did not expect that. That was just like out of nowhere. I mean, it makes sense that his character is like searching for answers, or I guess like talking to a sounding board, but still, like, that was not really a funny interaction. I was just like, damn, this is a sign that Logan, you know, I don't believe Logan's going to lose either, but I think it is a sign that Logan's going to crack.
Yeah, absolutely. And you see, yeah, you see it already getting to him in this episode. He's like, you know, where are my kids? Where is everyone? He wants to have that minute control of his empire. And his kids being involved with that, and any sort of competition that Logan encounters, he's going to want to eliminate. But at the same time, he is a father first. So I think that was a really smart move by the succession writers to put this consortium of his kids against him and sort of have Logan abandoned on this island, which is what I felt the whole episode. He just felt very disillusioned, very confused throughout the whole episode. And yeah, that's really all I have, considering Logan's psychology, which is like you don't get a lot of in Succession. So I really liked how they touched on that in this last episode.
Yeah, it's definitely the most like alone we've seen Logan. That had to be maybe the most depressing birthday party in TV show history. Like, of course, you know, and it's the title of the episode is The Munsters. And basically, I think what that title kind of echoes, and Logan says it throughout the episode, is like the people that are left around him are not his children. They're all yes men. And that that theme is reinforced over and over when like Carl or Jerry has to tell him bad news. And this happens again in this episode. They're just like, no, you do it. No, you do it. No, you do it. So, yeah, I think it's cool that Greg stood up to him in a weird way. I think he respects that a lot. And it was also like hilarious when Logan's just like at his absolute like most pissed, and that's when Greg decides to be like, Logan, like, yeah, no, we need to talk, because Logan's like, no, Greg, like, you're gonna tell me what's wrong. And Logan definitely doesn't obsessively watch footage of his own place. Like, that was such a lie from Tom.
Yeah, it was such a fun, yeah,
it ended up being maybe a good thing for Greg, because I think that like alleviated the tension a little bit with Logan, because he was pissed off, and then Greg's like, yeah, he smiled a little bit. And yeah, it's just so funny. Like, he comes out, they're like, but Greg, the girl is going to have to leave. And then he's basically like, you take care of it. That's classic.
Yeah. Yeah, that's classic. That's the thing I love about Greg's character, is that regardless of how much he fucks up, Logan is always going to be there to sort of rejuvenate him and sort of make him feel that, you know, he's still welcome in the family. Like, I mean, it's been seen season after season, and I think this is sort of the opus of that. And I think it's going to make this thing tick in Greg's mind. That's like, hey, I need to stop doing shit like this, or else I'm not going to move up the ladder. Granted, he is very far up the ladder as it is, as you can see in this episode. But another thing I wanted to talk about was Connor and his whole storyline with Willa and the presidential race. I just thought that was another great use of comic relief. For those of you who don't know, Connor is running for president of the United States. And the whole thing is like, he's going to get squeezed down from 1%. And he's so sort of focused on that. And I just thought it was really funny by the writers to, you know, keep that character of Khan in that mindset. That's like, hey, I think I could be president of the United States. I think that is another great comedic relief of the episode.
So do you think it's just that, though, comic relief? Because I have heard some interesting theories from like family and friends that maybe that 1% is later going to go on to be like pivotal to the election or something.
Right. Yeah.
Personally, I think it was literally just comic relief, because Connor has really not been important to any of the actual plot the entire show. Mm-hmm. Like, he's been useless, essentially, but he's been great for comic relief. I think they're just continuing him on that path. But what are your thoughts?
Yeah, that would be a real rabbit out of the hat if they did that. And I don't know, I think that would be great. Like, Connor's a character who we don't have much background on, just because he is from, I mean, none of his siblings are his real siblings. They're all half siblings. So you sort of focus on those three. But yeah, I think deep down there is a much more nuanced Connor. And I think he just wants to impress his dad so much because he sees the success of his three siblings. and sort of, yeah, I think he's going to become a much more serious character as a result of both the conversation he had with Willa there and conversations with the family. But yeah, I think that 1% could turn out pivotal. That's a really good theory that I haven't heard yet, but I'm definitely getting behind that.
Well, that is coming to you from William Bodeman. So Will, yeah, if you listen to this, shout out to you. We'll see if it pans out. I'm calling a bull, but if it pans out, I don't know, you win.
Yeah, John, I just wanted to get your thoughts on the negotiation scene between Logan and the kids. What are your thoughts on that? Especially with the kids figure, like that figure is just insane. Like, how do you think that'll work in the future?
First of all, I mean, I thought that the scene was relatively perfect. I don't think any of the characters acted out of character. I mean, the writing's there. Yeah, of course the offer was too high. That's classic from the kids. They talked about like that extra bit of money being emotional. It was like Logan was right to offer $6 or $7 billion. Even that was a little high. Emotions was completely driving that $10 billion offer. That's far too high. And I also like thought it was genius the way they had Nan Pierce in there going like, this is disgusting. This disgusts me. Like, clearly she was eating it up. I think that was a dig. That was a dig at like the left a little bit, and probably aptly so. Succession mirrors real life in a lot of ways. But yeah, I thought that the whole negotiation scene, the way it went down was pretty perfect. I think the $10 billion they offered for the company is going to bite him back in the ass. And, you know, realistically, if Logan had been able to like get in back in the conversation after that, like conversation ending offer of $10 billion, I don't think he would have offered more than that. I mean, that's ridiculous. So, I mean, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that figure is crazy. But I think it does put into Logan's mind that the kids aren't here to mess around. They're going to want to take him down by any means possible. And I think that $10 million figure is definitely going to bite him in the ass because, I mean, simply they don't have that capital. They mentioned that throughout the show. So I'm excited to see, like, if they approach Stewie with some offers or even if they partner up with Mattson at Gojo. I think that's another question that we should cover. You know, what is Mattson going to do? Is he going to side with Logan or is he going to side with the kids? Because in a way, he said it in the third season. He respects the hell out of Logan Roy and what he does and the empire he's built. But then again, he wants full autonomy. I think he reflects the young, you know, passionate, extremely smart entrepreneur that we're seeing in like tech these days and stuff. So he's going to want to take down Waystar Royko and sort of the conservative old time ideals that they stand for and fully rebrand it. So I think that's going to be interesting to see with Mattson because he's a very interesting character.
Yeah, that's true. And I can't wait for him to come back in because he definitely made for a lot of the more interesting scenes in season 3. I do agree with you. I think Mattson's a parallel of like, I don't know, like Elon Musk's of the world and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't think he'll get involved with funding the kids to go against Logan. I think he's on Logan's side. However, they kept referencing the fact that the sale where they get their stakes was 48 hours away. I don't know how relevant that is, but it seemed to be interesting because if they really wanted it to be like through, then they would have just had it go through and started the episode when the kids have the money. But they're waiting on this money that they might not get. They're like, oh yeah, the paperwork will be final in 48 hours. Like, I could totally see Logan like pulling away from the sale. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, yeah.
I mean, he wants to protect what he wants to protect his IP. It's as simple as that. He put his blood, sweat, and tears into the business, and he doesn't want to give that to some Swedish dude. So I totally see what you're saying.
And he's not stupid, by the way. I mean, I think they're foreshadowing a little bit of what he's going to be invested in this season, not only with the election talk, but also the fact that he's very invested in the news segment of his company. And so I think what we could see is him maybe kind of getting rid of the excess fat and relinquishing control of the other parts of the company, but definitely still maintaining the control of the news segment. Because another theory that my brother has said, and this one I totally agree with, is I think this season's gonna mirror kind of the 2016 election in a lot of ways, or the 2020 election. Like, yeah, it's gonna be there's going to be a highly contested election, and I think the kids are going to get behind one major candidate and Logan's going to get behind the other. And yeah, we could see Connor Roy play an interesting role in that. And I think Shiv, that also foreshadowed a little bit with Shiv. She's clearly talking to one of the candidates about being on their team or something. So
yeah,
you're going to see Logan and his kids face off politically, which is going to be interesting. That hasn't happened before, really.
I think, yeah, the progression of Mencken and how he becomes a pawn of Logan will be interesting to see, because Mencken needs Logan's backing. I mean, he got it in the third season, but will he solidify it in this fourth season with the election incoming? I think that's a really interesting thing to think about as well. And then one of the last things I wanted to touch on, and then if you have other things you want to touch on, please feel free, is the Tom and Shiv relationship. So at the end, they sort of milked, the creators milked this scene where Tom and Shiv sort of talk about their relationship and what the future is. And what are your thoughts on that? I mean, I'm always Team Tom. I'll always be Team Tom. I think Shiv is a terrible person. But what are your thoughts on that, John?
Oh, that's a great question. And I really think that's maybe the last major thing we haven't dissected yet about this episode. I think that that scene is just gorgeous and genius, the way that it's shot and the way that the script goes. The power dynamics have completely shifted. And I'm totally Team Tom, and I think that he's definitely reclaimed a lot of power in that relationship. Yeah, of course we can root against Shiv. She abused him for multiple seasons emotionally and, you know, just kind of treated him like a prop. And Tom is, yeah, he's feisty. He's proven that. But that scene is still nonetheless, I think, heartbreaking. And even throughout just that tiny conversation, you see him and Shiv kind of give each other certain looks, give each other certain, like, you know, body movements, and there's definitely tears. And then at the end, of course, they hold hands. But throughout that whole interaction, the power dynamics are slightly shifting both ways. And yeah, I think the relationship's over. That's going to be another interesting plot line that they definitely started off with a bang this season, is Tom and Shiv's divorce. And the big elephant in the room is, you know, Tom betrayed Shiv to her father. But also, I don't think they needed to have that conversation. I think the fact that they didn't talk about it was enough. I think everyone knows what happened. And, you know, you can definitely support Tom. I kind of support Tom for betraying Shiv, too. Like, he was kind of clapping back in a way. But I don't think Tom is also super happy. I don't think he wants to divorce Shiv.
Oh, no, absolutely. I definitely think it's a one-way street in that regard. But I know that Tom as a character is gonna want to do whatever he wants to get to that top table. And I think that's reflective of the conversation he had with Logan early on in the episode, where I think the line was Logan said, "If we're good, we're good." So there's a clear separation there. From Logan's perspective, it seems he might be playing Tom. Characters play each other throughout the whole show. But just to see how the end of that divorce settles with Tom and his, I guess, prosperity at Waystar, and even with ATN, as a matter of fact, of that. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a very real possibility that Tom gets absolutely shaded this season and betrayed in some major way. In a lot of ways, he's established himself as more of an integral character to the show and to everyone's hearts than even Shiv, especially over the course of the third season. Everyone's talking about Tom. I mean, that's that he's like the it part of Succession. And if they don't give him a huge role in this season, as they did in the previous season, and allow Matthew McFadden to do his thing, I don't think that that would be the right move. And Tom started off strong this season, and I love that. We got a lot of Tom.
Yeah, absolutely. One other thing I did want to mention just before we close is it seems that Roman has a lot more agency in terms of his decisions within his siblings. He seems much more respected by his siblings. But granted, you know, he still has those crazy insults and comebacks that we're so accustomed to from Roman Roy. But it seems like they're respecting his opinion a lot more, which I like to see because, you know, Roman, like Greg, has been the laughingstock of Succession, at least within the immediate family, throughout the first three seasons. And I think this is when Roman gets to really shine and sort of, you know, maybe eclipse Kendall as that leading figure in the consortium, which will be interesting to see.
Damn, that's a bold take, Pete, but I kind of like it.
I don't think it's bold. I mean, the character of Roman felt very different in season four as opposed to season three.
No, not that he's different, but that he's going to kind of overtake Kendall in terms of importance.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. We'll see.
That's interesting, yeah.
Yeah, think about how many times Logan was betrayed by Kendall. I mean, granted, Logan's not the one calling the shots, but you sort of see that Kendall is becoming less responsible. You know, and when he's explaining it, he's like, yeah, we'll just hire lawyers, blah, 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 blah. And Roman's like very pinpointed on strategy in this first episode. So I don't know. It's interesting to see, but just a take I had.
Yeah, it'd be fun to see Roman finally like snap back at his dad, because that's what he's been missing. Yeah. Like, it's always like, you know, the two siblings will do something and then Logan's like, you too, Romulus? Like, and, yeah. You know, he just always kind of cowers and goes with like whatever side is stronger at the time.
Uh-huh.
He finally fucked up and now he might have to like fight for himself. And damn, that would be great. I would love an emotional confrontation at some point between him and Logan.
I think that would be great for the show. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I thought we dissected a good amount. If you have anything else, Pete, you can go for
Absolutely. I mean, just the preview that comes at the end of every episode. Like, what are your thoughts on that? We got a glimpse of Mattson coming back in a crazy Gucci zip down. Yeah, what are your thoughts? I mean, we sort of predicted it, but my take is that they're just gonna accumulate a consortium throughout the whole season and, you know, try to make that money back that they're acquiring. So yeah.
Yeah, that's a solid take. I also liked watching Logan kind of like storm around ATN, like wander around the
Oh yeah.
That was interesting. But of course, you know, gotta love Mattson coming back. He's an interesting character. I really don't know what to expect. I think the consortium thing is a solid go. It's a good idea.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that was a good conversation we had. Stay tuned next week. I mean, we're going to be releasing these every week. This is our favorite show that's running right now. So we're avid fans. I know some of our listeners are as well. So yeah, glad we could do this.
Yeah. And that was Succession Season 4, Episode 1. We'll see you guys next week. All right. Signing off. I'm John.
I'm Pete. Thanks for listening to Splash of Cinema.
Bye.
Nice.
80 degrees.
Oh, shit. That's sick.
Hell yeah.